You know, sometimes when we... Christos Anesti. You got it on the first try. That's good. Sometimes when we pray certain prayers, as we did right now, we say it becomes, you know, habitual, and the ear just listens, but the brain does not connect to what the ears are listening to. Together with your Father who is without beginning. What does that mean? Together with your Father who is without beginning. How can someone be without beginning? That's God. This is why we say all the time in church, even on a weekday, they say, Father, the church was empty. The church is never empty. From the moment that our loved ones pass on to a place where a person can be God the Father without beginning and yet exist, and they enter that realm, then all things get bent and sideways on what is here and what is not here. Not to say some of you are here physically, but you're not here mentally, right? So you can be not here physically and be here physically and not be here, if that makes sense, right? That was my little parenthesis. Kyrie, anthropo ukecho. Lord, I do not have a man. This was what we heard in today's gospel reading. It's a famous gospel reading, as always, so rich with meanings and nuances that it would take me an hour to really unpack the entire gospel. And seeing that all of you are so attentive, I'm going to take the hour today. I know some of our visitors are getting nervous. Is this priest for real? I'm just teasing. It'll be a half hour. It won't be an hour. 38 years. How many of you are under the age of 38? So more than all of your lives, this man for 38 years sat inches from a pool of water that, as it says, during different seasons, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir. And at the stirring of the water, the first one into the water would be healed. For 38 years, he's sitting feet away from this pool, and right when he's about to get in, someone else jumps in ahead of him. And the Lord comes to this man and says to him, "Do you want to be healed?" That's a pretty bizarre question to ask a man who for 38 years is paralyzed. He's a paralytic, that's what the gospel tells us. And the Lord asks him the question, "Do you want to be healed?" Now one can only come to understand the pain of this man, probably the incredible amount of despair, the incredible amount of hopelessness this man must have felt all those years. And I'm going to add, which is what I want to focus on today, loneliness. You've heard me say that the greatest pandemic threatening humanity, or the most devastating malady we can say today, is loneliness. And as we know, loneliness makes us feel like saying to God, "I have no man. Anthropo ukecho. I don't have anyone. I'm all alone." And as I was thinking about today, you know, loneliness can lead people to do really, really desperate things. Use your imagination. Have not lonely people committed suicide? Have not lonely people engaged in alcohol and drugs? Have not lonely people hurt themselves? So this pandemic is also no respecter of age. You have kids, little kids, who feel so lonely at school, right? You have, because either their parents don't spend enough time with them, the parents don't even care about them. Parents who don't care about their kids. Let that sink in for a couple seconds. how painfully lonely those kids must feel who have parents who could care less about them. And don't think our community doesn't have such parents. Beware. Beware, because some of us might be that parent and not even have realized it yet, how lonely our kids are at home without the presence of an alive parent in their lives. Beware. Teenagers feel lonely because maybe their parents can't understand them. You don't understand what I'm going through. And it's true. I feel that at times too. I feel like sometimes I can't understand my Goyans. I can't understand my teenagers. It's hard for us to relate to the real world of where, as I sent to a few of you, in the old days you had a diary that you didn't want anyone to look at, right? And what do we have today? Social media, where everyone wants to read about what we're doing. We have no shame. And so all the kids are liking Pandeli's post, and Maria feels lonely. No one liked my posts. What a warped world we're living in. And I'm wondering when we're all going to wake up from this. Loneliness can exist in marriages where one couple's married to his work and the mother's worried, forgive me for putting it that way, the mom normally married to her kids. And the couples feel all alone. Like, I got my life I'm living, taking care of my kids, and he's got his life working all day and night. It can exist in the elderly. Goodness, some of you have visited with me, elderly, some of the Philoptochos members. And you see older people literally withering away. It's like society thinks it's better off they weren't alive. Just like out of sight, out of mind, throw them in some kind of house. Nobody has to see them and look at them and worry about them. How sad. And you see the tremendous joy when somebody visits them. So I don't know if Philoptochos president is here. I think she is because I see her kids here. But regardless of that, I think we need to intensify and increase and create a team. A team of people, not just Philoptochos ladies, a team of people willing to spend 1 hour a month visiting an elderly person or someone in a home. That the blossoming effect of your visit can give that person. Loneliness does not respect age. And the loneliness of losing a loved one. We have people in our community who have lost a spouse. Think about their loneliness, or maybe the loneliness of someone with a terminal disease who's thinking about their own death. I did a little statistical research because I like numbers. In a national survey recently, 36% of American adults felt, quote, serious loneliness. That's about almost 4 out of 10 people. Look around you, count 10 people. 4 of them, nationally speaking, feel severe, serious loneliness and feeling lonely frequently or almost all the time. In a world that has the pinnacle of communication and contact, you have the epidemic of the greatest age of loneliness. How contradictory are those people? We don't know how to communicate anymore. Survey included, my young kids, 61% of young people between the ages of 18 and 25, I bet this number is greatly higher for kids under 18, 61% of these kids between 18 and 25 have severe loneliness. What I said earlier about parents, it's under our noses and we haven't even seen it. 51% of mothers with young children suffer serious loneliness. I want to acknowledge the work of our little angels group, because that little angel group gives so much wings and comfort to many of, I saw a number of them today, many of these young moms with young babies. Am I tiring you today? 43% of young adults have increased loneliness since the pandemic, COVID. 43% have a higher loneliness. Why? Because 50% of them feel that even when people ask them, how are you doing, they genuinely just do not care. And think about it. We say to people, how are you doing? I remember a priest asked me that once when I was a deacon. He said, how are you doing, Archdeacon? I said, good. And he grabbed my hand, he said, how are you really doing? How are you really doing? Let's think about that. And I'll finish with this statistic so I don't tire you. Young adults suffer high rates of loneliness, anxiety, and depression. According to a recent CDC survey, 63% of this age group suffers significant symptoms. Guys, that's 6 in 10 of our young adults have severe depression, anxiety, and loneliness. This is crazy. This is alarming. This is the most probably focused thing we need to be talking about as we think about an expansion next door. Yes, basketball, sports will offer an opportunity for our kids to connect. But are we as adults, not only to our children, but to the person next to us, are we really asking them, how are you really doing? What are you really feeling? So, what's the cure? Because I can't just say all these things and not offer some ideas about a cure. Well, there's real cures and then there's false cures. The false cures, I think you can all guess. Drinking, drugs, workaholism, alcoholism, overbooking our schedule so that we're, you know, busybodies. It's not going to solve anything. Real cures, I think, begin as we look at the life of Christ and the story of today's paralytic, is talking to people that we know are hurting. All of us have the temptation to fall into, well, they lost their husband, I don't really feel comfortable reaching out. Well, I know their kid had a little accident, but I mean, I don't want to be the one to call them. I heard they were sick, but I can't interrupt their privacy and text them. I'm saying to you today, you got nothing to lose to do those things, to reach out and build a little bridge with someone. One of the most beautiful instances I've seen in this church, my own self witnessed, was when a woman came here who was just diagnosed with cancer, and this woman confided to myself and to another young man who had lost his wife to cancer without knowing his story. And I just stepped back and the two of them spoke. And that was very profound, that conversation, that little bridge. We have so many things we can say on this topic. But definitely reach out and touch someone. The other thing that sometimes loneliness does, friends, and this is a little bit probably geared to our younger kids, being alone and not talking about it will poison your mind. You'll begin to think all of the most upside down, backwards, and no good things about yourself, about your self-image, about your self-worth. When you preoccupy yourself with yourself, you start to poison your mind. So we need to be careful. And the way to overcome that is again to do what Christ did. To reach out and serve someone else. See, when we care about someone else, it gets our mind off ourselves. And it makes us feel compassion for someone. And these are good feelings. to feel pain for someone, to feel compassion for someone, this is transformative. And to be loving towards someone. We all want to be loved. We all want to be understood. Well, how do you think that's going to happen? When you start loving and understanding other people, then it starts happening to you. It's like a boomerang. So reach out and touch someone, as AT&T used to say. And then the last thing I would like to say, because I know I've tired you today, is this. Guess what? You're never alone. You are actually never alone. Because God is always with you. God is always with us. We can speak to Him, of course, in prayer. We can speak to Him when we come to church as a community. Remember what God's name was when He was revealed to the Virgin Mary? Who remembers from Christmas? What was it? Who's Emmanuel? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. What did Christ say right before He left this earth? Lo, I am always with you until the close of the age. My beloved friends, we're never alone. Our Lord said, I will not abandon you and I will never forsake you. Walk this day with one eye on people in need, looking for the hurting souls. Maybe put both eyes on our kids, make sure they're not suffering from that loneliness of the absence of parents who care. And remember, no matter what situation you're walking into, of a friend's house who's suffering or in a hospital, you're never walking alone. You always have the Lord with you. And may God give us this power to become a community of faithful that care and that help those who feel lonely. Christos Anesti.